Tonnell, Shannon Phillips. Shannon, let's talk a little bit about this this success story, obviously. Tell me about these 11 streams, the process of moving them from this impairment list, the 303 list, off of the list.
The Conservation Commission monitors about 500 streams across the state, and every year we analyze that data to determine whether or not there have been changes in what the water quality tells us. And this year we found that there were 11 streams that had been previously listed on the 303D impaired list that now were clean enough to come off. And what that tells us is we then go back and do a process of comparison to where the USDA programs through NRCS like EQIP and CSP have done a significant amount of implementation. We make that comparison, and that allows us to determine that that improvement that we saw in water quality was due to those voluntary conservation programs that NRCS and our state conservation districts put on the ground. So it's a great partnership between the USDA conservation programs, the state programs, and between the EPA, which funds that water quality monitoring that we're able to do.
Now, they help fund it. Obviously, there's had to be some relationship building to get them to accept data that the Conservation Commission is putting out to them, right?
Yes, the EPA, because they fund the monitoring, they're also very careful to determine what type of monitoring and what type of analysis of the data that we collect. And so they review those processes and they approve it. We've made these determinations based on their approved methods, both of collecting the data and assessing the data to come up with the conclusions. And then in the end, they approve the state's 303D list as being the appropriate listing.
Tell me about, you know, you were using the antidote of the Southeastern Creek that is a part of the list that's being removed from the 303D list. I think it was Pennington Creek.
Yes. Pennington Creek is a jewel of southeastern Oklahoma. It's in the Arbuckle-Simpson Aquifer area. It's a crystal clear stream that if you looked at it, you could never imagine that it had any water quality problems. However, it did have high concentrations of a type of fecal bacteria, which can cause people to get sick if they accidentally swallow the water. And so, but over time, the USDA and the state conservation districts put practices in place that would reduce that bacteria in the water. And we saw that between 2002 and 2010, those concentrations decreased by more than half. That became to a level that it was no longer considered impaired. And it's maintaining that low level when we looked at it again in 2012. So through those voluntary practices, we've made that creek completely safe for swimming and fishing, but also for the aquatic life that lives there and relies on it. And that's one example. There are 26 other streams like that across the state, whether you're talking about streams in the Panhandle or northeastern Oklahoma or the arid Southwest. These voluntary programs can achieve the same result and delist these streams and solve the water quality problems.
What work still needs to be done? I guess this is the ugly side of the question. What's out there that still is on that list that we've got to work on?
Sure. Well, there are a lot of streams that are on the list, and some are on the list for things. There are really about 700 streams and lakes on the list. Some are on the list for challenges that are not so difficult for us to tackle, and some are on the list for things that it's going to take a really concerted effort for us to achieve. I would guess that probably really 10 to 20% of the streams that are on the list are really, really things that we need to be working on. And we are continuing to work on those through the partnership of the local conservation districts and USDA and our other state partners as well. And we are, in some of those streams, we are seeing improvement. We haven't solved the problem yet, but we'll keep working. You know, an example of that is the Illinois River watershed in northeastern Oklahoma. And we have begun to see improvement in water quality there with our partnership and the work that Arkansas has done to reduce the impacts of point sources, as well as all the work that Oklahoma programs have done to reduce non-point sources. We'll get there, but we have a ways to go.
This is where some of those CREEP monies have come in,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, that's a USDA program that pays farmers to do livestock exclusion and protect a natural buffer along the streams for a 10 to 15 year period. We have, so far between our partnering programs there, we have more than 2,000 acres enrolled in those riparian protection programs that will protect sections of those streams for 10 to 15 years, and in some cases as many as 30 years. And we're beginning to see improvement there. Like I said, we haven't solved the problem yet, but we are beginning to see improvement.
Shannon Phillips, the director of the Water Quality Division of the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, visiting with us about this great success story of basically Oklahoma being able to move off 11 more streams from the 303D NPS, the non-point source pollution impairment list of EPA. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.